A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Thank you for flipping to the B-Side Podcast. I am your host, Brian McKay, and we are back with another episode. This episode is going to be a special one because it's about a sport that I really, really, truly love. It's a sport that has given a lot to me, and I've gotten a lot out of throughout the years. It's a sport of women's basketball, women's college basketball, to be specific. We're going to do a little college basketball preview episode. My background as far as women's college basketball really truthfully extends back before I was even thought of in this world. My mother played college basketball at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College and then went on to Mississippi College for 1 year in Clinton, Mississippi. And then from there, she was part of Van Chancellor's first team at University of Mississippi when he took the job there. And Van Chancellor is someone that you will hear in this episode as I interview him. He tells a couple of funny stories that I won't get too much into because you'll enjoy just listening to him because he's a great storyteller and just a legend in the women's college basketball game. And I make fun of him all the time, but he really is truthfully one of the greats this game has to offer and someone that many, you know, any coach benefit from listening to and just hearing he can give to them as far as expertise, being such a long tenured coach as he was and so successful. From there, as it pertains to me, my father was a girls' high school basketball coach for almost 30 years down here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and with that, I would always go with him to basketball camps and go, obviously, everywhere with him as far as games and things like that. But the basketball camp part is really going to be where it plays beneficial in my future. I would go with him. One camp in particular, the Ole Miss, University of Mississippi, Ole Miss women's basketball camp that Van Chancellor would have during the summer. Just knocking around, hanging out with the likes of Jennifer Gillum, Peggy Gillum, two people who I treat them like they're, you know, just great aunts of mine. And just just because they mean that much to me, they're like family. They always have been. Going from there, growing up around that, I knew that Ole Miss was a spot that I would definitely want to, I could see myself in one day if I could ever get past the thought of being that far away from my family. But as I got older, I made the decision to go to Ole Miss and got an opportunity to be a manager on a basketball team coached by Carol Ross, who had just been named coach the year prior. So I was a manager for her staff. I was the video manager. I got to go to all the games, video all the games. Become kind of ingrained in the video part of the team, which would be more than beneficial later after I graduated. A year goes by, still looking for a job, just kind of doing some odds and ends things in between. The position opens up. If you listen to my other podcast, Coastal Conversation, I have that one and I have the Mac and T Show podcast, but in the Coastal Conversations piece, in our very first episode, Sarah and I talk about how we intertwined and how we came to know each other and grow through the sport of women's basketball. And you'll hear a lot more in depth detail. So I won't go into that great detail. If you want to hear more, please go check that out, Coastal Conversations. But yeah, so from there, I become video coordinator. Sarah leaves to go to La Tech and as the assistant coach, so I become video coordinator at Ole Miss for Renee Ladner, who has now moved up from assistant to head coach as Carol Ross has left to pursue other interest. From there, I spent 4 years as video coordinator and learned a lot more than I thought I'd ever learn about video. I mean, I came into being a manager way back in 2004 when I started being a manager for Carol Ross's team, knowing absolutely nothing other than play, stop, and maybe record as it pertains to video. By the time I left Ole Miss as video coordinator in 2012, I had just become ingrained in it, and it's become part of me. And still to this day, I have YouTube channels, and I'm trying to integrate these podcasts as being more of a part of that, as far as it becomes, you know, video and audio. And it's become a part of me, and basketball is what I have to thank for that. I have one love that brought me into the world, and while that basketball love is still there, and it always will be there, it's always going to be a part of me, it gave me something more as far as evolving into a video person and into someone who loves to take pictures, take video, edit it down, and just has a love for that and a passion for it. And that's where we are today. We'll also interview Debbie Antonelli, who is a sports broadcaster who I read, and I didn't bring this up when I interviewed her, but that's okay. I read somewhere that she is starting her 30th year in the broadcasting world, and that's amazing. Just looking back and seeing everything she's done for the game and continues to do for the game, for her to be a broadcaster for 30 years already, and she didn't even seem like she's that old. I mean, she's still got tons of energy, tons of spunk. No, Debbie, I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying for you to be 30 years in, it seems like you must have started when you were about 10, you know. Gonna hear a lot from her. She's gonna give you a few things of, hot button topics as far as the Sweet 16 to Vegas, the hashtag Sweet 16 to Vegas, a movement that she is trying to create, has been a big proponent for, as she'll tell you, 8 years now, and is continually fighting for that, and what it really entails. She's going to explain a lot more in detail, but I'll just give you just a small synopsis. Basically, what she is asking for and the group that she's put together is asking for is for basically to take the regionals out of the effect. The Sweet 16s and the Elite 8s, where they have four separate regionals, take that completely out of the effect, move it all to Las Vegas for women's college basketball. That would be a great thing, you know, to have it in one central location. And I know that there are going to be the naysayers that talk about the gambling aspect, and we'll get into that, and you'll hear, you know, our thoughts on that, and you'll hear her thoughts. But I really truly believe that this will be a great thing for the crowd. You know, you'd have one central location for that, and then you go from there to the Final Four, wherever that destination is. It just seems like it will be beneficial in the long run in building the women's game. It's already growing by leaps and bounds as it is. I just think like that would be a much more beneficial way. And you'll hear Debbie's thoughts on that. And she'll also get into a few of the tournaments that she is director for. You have one, the Vancouver Showcase, that's going to be its inaugural tournament this year. First one, it's going to be in Vancouver. And that starts on November 22nd. And Lord have mercy, listen to this field. You got the defending national champion, Notre Dame, coached by Muffet McGraw, Arike Ogunbowale, who hit just two of the most, just the craziest shots that you'll ever see, back-to-back games in the Final Four in the championship last year to win Notre Dame, its first national championship since 2001. Then you have South Carolina, who won the national championship the year before. Always a perennial contender here in the last few years. Don Staley has really built that program up to be something special. And they were an Elite Eight team last year. Oregon State, another Elite Eight team. They got some good things going out there. A team that's definitely one to watch this year, coming into this year. Then you have the East Tennessee State. You have Drake, Gonzaga, Western Kentucky. I mean, these are all conference championship winners from last year. Who made it to the NCAA tournament will make noise. And then you have Rutgers, C. Vivian Stringer, who's always tough out. This is a stacked field for a very first year of a tournament. This is a very stacked field, and you'll hear us get into that, as well as she brings up the Gulf Coast Showcase, which is in Southwest Florida, down in Fort Myers, the Sotero area, and that's going to be from November 23rd through the 25th. And this field is big time as well. You have Duke, Texas, Washington, Ball State, Missouri out of the SEC, Michigan, Quinnipiac, who is always just giving people fits in the NCAA tournament. And you have people who doesn't really follow the game, who might watch the NCAA tournament every year, and they say, who is Quinnipiac? They always present a challenge. And you know, also, I think I said Ball State, and then Fordham is the other teams in this tournament. That's two very, very stacked Thanksgiving tournaments going on at the same time. And two that Debbie has been a big part of, tournament director for both. And you'll hear some more about that. And also, I get her to give me her top five ticket-selling players as we are coming into this season, who she feels like is some players to look forward to. And you'll hear, and I say ticket-selling players, that's something that Debbie has kind of created. And you'll hear her in some of her broadcasts bring that up. It's something to get you involved, something to get the fan involved, to get them to understand that these are the players. These are some studs. This is what the women's basketball game is giving you. And also with Coach Chancellor in my interview with him, he'll give you his top five players that he's ever seen play. I didn't want to get him in trouble and say that he's ever coached, just top five he's ever seen play all time. Yeah, he gives you a nice little list. I think he actually goes overboard, but that's fine. If you know Coach, you understand. he's very passionate about the game and loves it just as much as anyone. Let's get it kicked off with my interview with Deb Antonelli, and we'll hear what she has to say as pertains to coming into this year. Like I said, I already kind of briefed you on what she was going to talk about. We'll get into that, and I'll see you again on the other side. But here is Deb Antonelli. Good morning.
Hey, man. What's up, dude?
Hey, not much. Hey, glad you could come on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for asking me. Are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh. Listen, last minute, I decided to text you, and I know this time of year, you're just all over the place, busy as you could be. It's an honor to have you on.
I'm driving in the car. I hope it sounds okay.
Oh, yeah. Sounds real good. Real good.
Okay. Well, listen, man. You have had this podcast for like a year. You never asked me. So don't be giving me that, last minute stuff.
This podcast is actually, it's been out there for a year, and I haven't done much with it. It's one of three that I do. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's me being adventurous or just crazy. I don't know. So just wanted to get a few things. This is like I told you, it's my women's basketball preview episode, and just want to get your thoughts on a few topics out there as we start the season. A lot of teams are doing their exhibition slate this weekend and getting ready for the real stuff coming up this coming week. The Sweet 16 to Vegas. Now, I know that's been a big deal for you, and I followed all your social media posts. I think I've liked and retweeted just about all of them, because you make so many good points in the argument for doing that. Where do you see the process is at this point? Are we at a stalemate, is there any progress being made towards that?
I don't think stalemate is even close to the word. I do think there's progress being made, but I've been asked to be patient in the process,
right,
which I've not been very good at. This is my eighth year, BMAC, talking about this. So, when people ask me to be patient, I'm kind of like, well, what have y'all been doing? I mean, like, what are you discussing in some of those meetings in the Oversight Committee and all the different layers that the NCAA has? Because this is a favorable concept. I've not had a coach tell me they don't like it. As a matter of fact, I get the opposite. How can I help you?
Right.
So, for your listeners, the bullet points of this concept is, number one, rebrand, recenter, guys, the Sweet 16 to Vegas. We do not need four regionals. It doesn't make any sense economically, and it's not good for the student-athlete or the fan. If we're interested in taking care of the student-athlete and the fan experience, we need to change what we're doing, because that's not working. At the same time as we rebrand, we need to separate from the corporate partner program. We're in a real pivotal time in women's athletics, I believe, because I think we have sellable products, and I don't think anybody's selling. The WNBA just opted out of their CBA. They've got another year under the existing arrangement, and that's going to be really interesting, because that's about revenue. But you have to have somebody selling. BMAC, the first two points are rebrand, re-synergize, change the format to remove the four regionals and have one Sweet 16 at the same time, separate from the corporate partner program so we can have some creative inventory.
I agree. And I know one of the points you made is about the missing demographic of the males 18 to 40. I feel like they should take a cue from what WNBA has done in partnering with, and this is for the naysayers about bringing women's basketball, college basketball closer to gambling in Vegas. The WNBA, now that they've partnered with the Daily Fantasy, the DraftKings, the FanDuel, I mean, they've done that in the last couple of years, and they've seen an exponential growth in, that was a big word, almost choked on that one, the growth in viewership, and I feel like that's because, I mean, there's so many in that demographic that play Daily Fantasy, and to be good at that sort of thing, been told that it's research, it's getting your eyes on the product that you're playing the Daily Fantasy for, to have your better chance to win, the analytics of it all. And I think that's what's bringing that demographic in where it hasn't been before.
Well, you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. It's not a head-in-the-sand kind of concept, okay? Our culture has evolved, and gambling is part of our sports culture. And I live with four men, okay? They have... I don't even know how many fantasy football teams my guys have. But you're right. You know, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, figured out a way to monetize fantasy sport, and it's not going to affect the integrity of the game. It's a part of our culture, and women's basketball can capitalize on that. Now, I say that, and I have never purchased a lottery ticket, so I'm not a gambler.
Right.
Okay? But it's just like, I'll have a drink, but I'm not a drinker. Okay?
Right.
So, we think the 18 to 50-year-old male demographic is a strong demo. March is the male sports bastion of March. So why don't we just take our game to the guys? And if there's some lines on our game, we're going to take advantage of it. People are going to be interested. Why would you stay on a UConn game with a 40-point spread unless you wanted to see if they covered?
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, if you're not a UConn fan, who cares?
Yes, I definitely agree. Not to kind of in a horrible changing of topics, but I want to get to another topic, and that is the Vancouver Showcase that you're the tournament director for this year, the inaugural one. And y'all put together quite a field. You have Notre Dame, South Carolina, Oregon State, which were all Elite Eight teams this past year, and then I think it's East Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, Gonzaga, I believe, were all conference champions this past season. So you guys have March in November. I mean, Thanksgiving week is going to be like March in Vancouver.
Yes, you know what? This is an inaugural event. As you said, we used to have this event in Vegas, and we moved it to Vancouver.
Right.
We are very excited about it. The teams that you mentioned are fantastic. I mean, we've got three top 10 teams, so the championship game should probably be, on paper, you'd see Notre Dame on one side of the bracket, Oregon State and South Carolina on the other side. Not to dismiss the other teams, but, of course, those three are all top 10 teams.
Right.
And we're very excited about the quality of competition. And that's not the only event I have. For the sixth year, we'll have the event in Estero Beach, Florida, called the Gulf Coast Showcase.
Oh, yes.
And that's another event that I'm the tournament director for. So, my effort there was to help grow our game, to provide destination cities with high RPI quality events with good officiating. We get Final Four officials working these games because of the caliber of teams that we have. So I'm very excited about how that has continued to grow and evolve. And, television is the next step for us, but they will be straight.
Oh my gosh. I've been trying to find a way to get my ticket to Vancouver because I want to check out these games. It's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be great for the game.
I can't wait to get there myself.
Yes. My last thing I want you to do, and it's because if for everyone that knows you and everybody that watches you on TV, you always have a segment, just make you out a list. You're always putting together some form of a list. And here we are, the 1st of November. You know, November's just kicking off. Season hasn't really got going yet. I want you to give me just a pre-top five of your hashtag ticket-selling players to look out for this season.
You know what, B-Mac, I appreciate you recognizing the hashtag ticket-selling players because, to me, that's what it's all about. Who would you buy a ticket to go see play? We have so many great players in our game now, and it's very exciting because the ones that can score, the shoot till their arm falls off, you know, those are the players that I like to go watch. So, you know, my top five players right now, if I went through the, you know, my AC poll right there at the beginning, you start with Notre Dame, and that's Enrique Ogunbowale. He scored all three levels. He had two dynamic shots at the end of the season last year. Everybody knows Enrique. If you didn't know how to say your name before, you certainly know how to say it now. At UConn, I think there's two players there. Katie Lynn Samuelson at 6'3", can work off of any screening action. Afisa Collier had an incredible summer with USA Basketball, and I saw her improve her game. I'm going to be excited to watch her put that in Connecticut system. And then at Louisville, I love Asia Dern. She's a player of the year last year on the ACC. She's a preseason All-American as well as the other ones. I think they're terrific. And then, you know, for low post play, you've got to buy a ticket to see Kalani Brown at Baylor and Tierra McCowan at Mississippi State. There's not many back-to-the-basket bigs like that as the game transitions away from the basket with more of a stretch four and a more five outlook. Those two teams, Baylor and Mississippi State, have the two best back-to-the-basket low post players.
Yes, every one of those are big-time players. And yeah, like you said, if anybody doesn't know how to say Enrique's name now, they do now. After the two, I mean, just jaw-dropping shots that she hit in back-to-back games in the Final Four last year was just amazing. And she's all over the place. She's on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. She's on, you know, Good Morning America. She's been all over it. Yes. I'm excited.
If I get a chance to dance with the stars, I'm asking you to be my partner.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of alcohol involved getting me on the dance floor. But like once again, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You have literally made this podcast extremely credible and legit just by your presence.
B-Mac, look, people don't know how much you love the game. If they really knew how much you loved it, how could I say no to you, man? We go way back. You're my guy.
I would usually blush at you saying things like that, but now that Frank and I have met each other, I don't have to worry about him, you know, thinking any kind of adversarial thoughts my way. So we're all good to go now.
All good. All good.
Well, thank you, and safe travels to your next destination, and thank you again for coming on.
Hey, don't wait for a whole year to bring me back on your show, man.
I will not. You will be my first recurring guest. I promise.
Okay. All right. Thanks, B-Mac.
Thank you.
Once again, I want to thank Debbie Antonelli for coming on. Yeah, that was fun. I'm sorry the audio might have been a little bit grainy. Still working out the kinks with the podcast. Still trying to get things worked out that way. And we will get better as time goes on. But I appreciate Debbie coming on. She's one of my favorite people. I met her when I first started at Ole Miss as a manager in 2004. The fact that I have the ability to call her and she would come on a show like mine when she does radio, she does TV. She's, you know, not only is she a color commentator or play-by-play, she can do it all. She's also doing shows right now where literally before she did my interview, she couple of days before that, she was doing a radio show out of Charleston, ESPN Charleston. I mean, she's all over the map. She's doing so many things. In fact, she took out a little bit of time for me. I really appreciate that. But transitioning to my next guest, we have Van Chancellor. Yeah, it's Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, gold medalist, four-time WNBA champion, over 500 wins as a college coach. Just the list goes on and on and on for him. And he's been someone that's very, very special to my family and I, and love the fact that, you know, he's basically like a relative without being blood to me. He just is that special. And I always appreciate him for everything he's done for me and continues to do to this day. I mean, anytime I'm looking at a job and I go out, you know, I decide I'm going to apply for that job, he's the first one, I mean, with no hesitation, would pick up the phone and call whoever he needs to call, whether he knows him or not. He's going to give him a call on my behalf and just to tell them about me. I don't know that I hope that I live up to the expectations and the things that he has presented to those people on my behalf, but hopefully I've done my part, because he sets lofty goals. He makes me out to something I only hope to be. But anyway, we're going to get with him here in a second, and I'll be back on the other side to continue the show. And here's my interview with Van Chancellor.
Coach, I appreciate you coming on the show with me today. We're here talking to Van Chancellor, Hall of Fame coach, Olympic gold medalist. If I sit here and list all of his accomplishments, we'll be here all day. And plus, I don't believe his head would be able to fit in his house. But Coach, thank you for coming on the show.
I'm just glad to be here. Basketball's been so good to me, Brian. It's just been a wonderful ride. I'm just so appreciative that I've got to make the ride and be around a lot of great people.
Well, let's go ahead and kick the show off properly, and I want you to do your top, just give me your top five or six of women's basketball players you've ever seen. I'm not going to say that you coached, because I don't want to get you in trouble, but that you've ever seen play the game.
I don't think there's any doubt that Rossi just barely beats out Sue Bird at the point guard position. I like Cooper Swoops on the wings, Lisa Leslie playing the five hole, and then I'm going to tie the four hole between Tina Thompson and Lauren Jackson. Those were pretty special players. Tamika Catchings is another player, but if I'm just picking players and picking teams, that's the all-time team.
Yeah, that's a pretty good group right there. Pretty.
If Jennifer Gillum had played in her prime in the WNBA, she'd be on that team too. She just never played. When she came to the NBA, she was a little bit older. She'd have been younger. Back in her younger days, I have no doubt in my mind she would have been another player.
Well, you know that regardless of any kind of bias, that Jennifer's always going to be at the top of my list. You of all people know that.
I know a lot of people that I think are biased, but I don't know of no one more biased towards Ole Miss than Brian McKay. So all the Mississippi State boys and women need to realize they're listening to a biased situation here.
But go ahead and keep it with that spirit. I will allow you to tell any story that you would like to tell as it pertains to me and you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, back when young McKay was maybe 8 or 9 years old, he used to come to my basketball camp all the time, and he would just take and get that other kid there, and they'd always, Jennifer Gillum would come into camp at the start of the afternoon session, and they would just mess over me and referee me and beat me. So one day I did a sorry thing. I turned around and just drilled a three ball at camp, being an immature person I was at that time. And the camp booed me and everything else. So I found out from David McKay, Brian's daddy, that I had really hurt Brian's feelings. That really bothered him. So I was going to make it up to him and take it. I was going to a Nike deal, and I told him, I said, David, I can get Brian a picture with Michael Jordan tonight. And he said, we went and told Brian, and Brian said, Daddy, do me a favor, tell Coach to stand aside of Michael. And I said, why is that? So he said, so he could cut you out of the picture. Now, that might be, if you were to ask me to list of the sorriest things I've ever done in my life, that might be up at the top. I did that to an 8-year-old. I ain't proud of that, ladies and gentlemen, but I did it.
Yeah, the coach is talking about something that happened about 26, 27 years ago. And if I'd have had the foresight, but obviously hindsight is 20/20. But knowing now what I didn't know then, if we had that situation do all over again, I'd still be a sore loser because I don't like to lose.
No. And I would not be a 40-year-old. If I had mine to do it with, I'd have never won the game.
But at this point in time in 2018, if I would have gotten a chance to get that picture, it would be blown up and right on my wall in my bedroom for no one else to touch. Because that right there, with those two legends in one picture, that would be something special.
Well, I got to play around the golf with Michael Jordan. He's a great guy. He's the all-time greatest player ever. But he's still a great human being, too. So people that never got to meet him, just a really nice guy.
Well, let me ask you a question as pertains to this year's women's basketball. Are you still working with the Southland Conference this year?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, what do we have in store as it pertains to them this year? I see Lamar was picked as the preseason favorite to win it all.
Well, here's what I think: the Southland Conference is always going to be a lot of close teams. Lamar may be a pick, but Stephen, Lamar's got a good team. Coach Harvey does a great job. They press a lot. They get up and down. They try to outscore you. But a team that's always going to be a factor, there are two other teams that are factors in that league. Sandra Rush is over in Central Arkansas, defensive-minded coach. And then you go down to Stephen L. They're always going to have a shot. And then Royce Champick over at Corpus Christi will be better this year than they've been in the past. So, but the deal is, what makes that league so tough is you play all year to go in and get byes and play in the tournament, but it's not what you do for the 18 conference games. It's what you do those last three games of the season because you have to win their tournament to be able to get in the NCAA. Now, you talk about pressure. When they come down here, they play in Katy. They play about 5 miles from my house, and there's a lot of pressure on them. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, as I was a witness last year sitting right there next to you, and just like you said, it doesn't matter necessarily what you do in those 18 conference games. It's all about those last three. We watched as Nichols upset team after team after team all the way to the championship game.
Yeah, what you have to do as a coach there is you got to come in there and coach, but you got to find a way to take the pressure off of your players because there's so much pressure to be announced on TV. There's so much pressure to be in the tournament that sometimes the favorites don't always win.
Yep, I agree with you there. As far as different players that we should look out for, who I know Cassidy Berrios from Nichols is one to look out for. Lamar has the Barr kid and Kennard. I think Chastity Barrs and Mo Kennard. Do you know of anyone else right off the top of your head? Maybe.
Let me tell you about those players you just named. They all can score. The two kids from Lamar is going to average 17 or 18 points. Berrios from Nichols is going to be a real threat to score because, they are going to play such a style of ball at Nichols. They're going to be in every game, and she's going to get a lot of shots and score. This is more of a, Brian, this is a league that has a lot of good players, and anyone could step up. They sign a lot of junior college players, so in turn, there may be a player that has an all-conference year that we don't know about. That signed with a team out of junior college that becomes a real factor.
Okay. Yeah. And to kind of put a wrap on things. I want to give you one chance because I have to have this on tape because this is one of my favorite stories that you tell. I want to give you your chance to tell the story of the day you found out. Now, for people who don't know, Coach Chancellor coached my father, David McKay, in high school, and my mother, who was Connie Winstead at the time, Connie McKay now, at Ole Miss, his first year at Ole Miss. But there's a story about the time he found out he was going to have to start my dad in high school. I want you to tell that story so we can get this on record here today.
Well, first of all, let me say this about your mother. Connie played for me at Ole Miss for 2 years, one of the greatest hard-nosed players. And if I was going to go back in time and coach somebody, I'd like to coach Connie because she's everything that I want and wanted to coach. But I went to Harrison Central in 1973, and that summer I went and watched my game practice, and I had David McKay. He couldn't guard a fence post. I'll tell you that right now. Nobody. I don't know of nobody he could guard. I'd go down there and watch Burt Jenkins practice, and I became depressed looking at his game practice and coming back and watching my game practice. Well, in the fall of the year, we're settling in, and I got a nice five. David McKay is not on that five. I got a really nice five, and I really like. And I go over to check their academic records, and a guy named Plummer had been in Newton High School, and he spent 5 years in high school making him ineligible. When I looked out, he was ineligible. I'm walking back to the principal's office, and I was going over, who is going to take Eddie's place? Who in the world? And I said, David McKay. I said, oh, my goodness. We won't win a basketball game. David McKay cannot guard anybody. I'm going to have to start David McKay. And I said, oh, my, I don't know what I'm. I went into a fit of depression with that thought of mine. But let me end it by saying this. I go and I play a game of man, and David can't guard. And so my assistant, Coach Eddie Ladner, comes in the next morning, and he said, we can continue to play man, and we ain't going to win a game, or we can get in the 1-2-2 zone and put Mac out there on that wing, and we can be pretty tough. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We won 24 games that year and only lost two more the rest of the way. So David McKay could shoot the eyes out of a basketball. Whoa, Lord.
Well, I'm sure he'll appreciate you saying that, and I know that Mom always appreciates when you talk about her.
Well, let me tell you something about your mom. Oh, Lord. Your mom was everything. Your mom didn't quite have the offense your dad did, but she was grittier, tougher than your dad was. I'll tell you that right now.
She still is to this day.
Yeah, I ain't no doubt in my mind about that.
Well, Coach,
I'm going to say this quickly. I'm still picking the Mississippi State Bulldogs to meet South Carolina for the Southeastern Conference Championship.
That's where I was going next. I want to know what you thought about your buddy Vic Schaefer and their chances of getting the SEC crown this year.
When you play defense like Vic Schaefer does, when you guard, you got a shot. When you get the talent, you play the offense of Don Staley, don't count out my boy, Gary Blair. I don't care if he lost players. The man can coach. Vic can coach. Don, there's a lot of good coaches in that league.
Yes.
And it's going to be another great year. Tennessee's always going to be there. Never, never count Tennessee. Ole Miss has got a new coach. They're going to be improved. She's got a lot of mojo about her. It's going to be good.
It's going to be another great year in the SEC.
All right.
Well, thank you for coming on, Coach, and I will talk to you very, very soon.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
I want to thank Coach Chancellor again for coming on with me. I wasn't lying. We have a long, drawn-out family history between my family and him. He's just been such an inspiration to me throughout the years and such a great person to have in my corner. And just, I love the stories that he tells. And there are very few that he doesn't embellish on. And the ones he told here today are a few of those. Almost word for word, exactly how it happened at camp that year. I don't believe I was 8 or 9. We'll go with 8 or 9. It was somewhere in that range. But yeah, it was a lot of fun going to those camps and being around Jennifer and Peggy and Coach. And to this day, I see former players of his that know me from those years of being at those camps. And even when I was working at Ole Miss, they would come back as alumni and were just, they remember me as that little kid running around at camp. And it was hard for them to see me as, you know, a 30-year-old working for the university. Yeah, Coach is a great person, and I appreciate everything he's done for me and done for the game of women's basketball. But I think that's going to be a wrap on our show today. I hope everyone has enjoyed it. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I'm going to do my next episode on, I just do a review of the basketball A Love Story documentary that ESPN produced. I fell in love watching it, and I fell in love all over again. I'll just say that. I fell in love with the sport that I've always been in love with. Fell in love all over again just watching it and hearing the stories and learning some things that I didn't even know. I mean, I thought I knew a lot of those, and I knew of a lot of those situations that happened, but the intricacies and the details behind the stories are something that really intrigued me. So I'm going to do more than likely I'll do a review of that. But as always, I'm your host, Brian McKay, and I thank you for flipping to the B-Side. You can listen to the B-Side podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, and TuneIn. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Please be sure to follow our show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the B-Side Podcast. That's at the B-Side Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get all the updates and different things happening with our podcast. Be sure to email us any questions, comments, what you think you like about the show, what you don't like. Our email address is thebsidepodcast@gmail.com. That's thebsidepodcast@gmail.com.
The A-Side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-Side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info is supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-Side. Yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.